Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. The trip's beginning. I'm in. Welcome. CarCast. We tell you all that's going on in the automotive world and then talk shit as well. Man, Kroll, it's Matt, the moderator, DeAndre over there.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm moving. I'm working on my house. I'm running around. I'm orchestrating and trying to stay ahead of the game and trying not to let shit happen that I say I don't want to happen that happens anyway. And a lot of that.
Yep.
A lot of that. And then physically moving and just trying to, like, you know, I, there's something that goes on and it is a fixed part of our life. It is a dead nuts part of our life. And I don't know why. I don't know why it has to be, but it must be. And I'll tell you this. I'll let everybody, Max Zapata, you can weigh in on this. Kalen, you can weigh in on it. I think we all know the people who you could, if you wanted to make a roster of people who would do this and people who wouldn't do it, no one would argue about who wouldn't do it. I got guys, they're young guys, they're good guys. They're the sons of a lot of the guys that are, like, working with me, you know, doing the drywall and painting and everything like that. And they got the dually and they got the van and they're moving from one house to the next house.
Yeah.
And here's how I'm wired. And I'm wired this way in a nutty way, but I don't look. There's a wiring where it's like, oh, look at Howard Hughes. He's wearing Kleenex boxes for slippers and he's urinating in mason jars. Like, that's not my wiring. My wiring is a make sense wiring and I'm paying you to make sense, but I shouldn't even bring it up. I shouldn't have to bring it up, but I will bring it up, which is I got guys moving a whole bunch of shit from one house to the next house. The houses, the furniture and whatnot with the kids, is inevitably the sofas are filled with Cheerios and saltines and crumbs, and the yeah. underside of the sofa is cobwebs and dust bunnies. And the other side, you know, you got the console that sits in front of the TV with all the game stuff in it, but the underside of it's going to be the cobwebs and the dust bunnies and the whatever. My edict, and I've said it 9 times, and there is no amount of times you can say it. That's the other thing. Like, I'm like, listen to me. This stuff's going to go from one house to the other. You guys, it's in the back of the dually. It's 3 feet off the ground. You're unloading it. Everything gets wiped down.
Mm-hmm.
All the bottoms of the legs. I don't want the legs. I have a newly finished hardwood floor. I don't want the legs with the shit or the schmutz or whatever on the sofa. I don't want it on my new floor. I don't want anything brought in. I don't want cobwebs brought in. I mean, every single thing, as you take it off the truck, gets thoroughly wiped down. Here's some rags, here's some microfiber rags, here's some Windex, you know, here's some whatever. Just give it all, take your time.
And all the right, nothing nutty yet. All right.
It's never, and by the way, there is no gear where I ever go by and somebody's like wiping something down. I go, come on, man, you've been wiping that down for 10 minutes, get it in the house. No. I've never said that. I've never said like what's taking so long, whatever. I say, take your time, wipe it all down. I don't want it inside the house if it's got cobwebs or dust bunnies or it's a sofa filled with crumbs. Take a vacuum. Vacuum it off.
Yep.
Wipe it down. Then bring it in the house. That's it. Said about 9 times. yesterday, there's three of them. They're all carrying the big console, and they're like walking through the living room with it. And I see this big like spider web hanging underneath it that's all filled with dust, you know. And it's like it's like a hammock for dust. And they're all just holding it up at like waist height, and they're like walking. And I'm just walking this big hammock of dust going through. And I go, "Hey, what's going on? Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, we'll get that. We'll get that." And it's like, why is that a bridge too far? Like, why is that undoable? Why? I know. Oh, Adam, you're nuts. Adam, you got a problem. Adam, you got fucking Asperger's. Really? Really? Just here's all that you need. Take all the time you like. Wipe the shit out of everything. Please don't make me open a drawer and find a bunch of shit and dust and whatever. Please don't let me see a bunch of stuff hanging down from under the sofa or whatever. We're not going to get another shot at it. It's all chest height now. Yeah. It's outdoors. Wipe it all down. You get paid by the hour. And then... and only then bring it into the house. Why is that impossible? Why? But it is.
Apparently.
It's impossible. It's impossible for people around here. It's impossible for those dopes. It's impossible for everybody. Why is that so impossible?
I couldn't answer that. I mean, that is such a believable story, though. I've seen that happen to you and other people countless times. I don't know. And then the fact that they're just like, oh, all right, we'll get it. You know, I don't know if
it's not like, look, I called you guys at 4 a.m. when I was pretty high, and I told you to do this thing, and I know you guys were sleeping, but I'm never going to say it again. So you should have remembered. Like, I am literally like, when they're leaving for the house, I'm going, hey, remember? And then when I see them at the house, yeah, at the new house, at the old house, and they're walking out the door, I'm like, don't bring it in the house. Don't, you wipe it down. You wipe it down. It's not like, oh, remember 2 years ago on Thursday, Adam loosely suggested. No. Adam stands next to you and goes, do not, hey, Nate, listen, don't do this. You wipe it all down. You wipe it all down. And then I'll like go fucking upstairs, get a cup of coffee, and I'll be walking down to my car like 12 minutes later. And I go, you wiping everything down? Everything's being wiped down? Like, there is no such thing as one and done in my world. I can't, no way is there one and done. Like, I talk to everybody 9 times. Not Nick Santora, not DeAndrea. Not good, Matt. Not Kevin Hench. Not the normal people. Not the smart people. Not the people who played sports or did the military or fucking have fucking two brain cells rubbed together. But everybody else I speak to like a 9-year-old, like a constant, like, wipe it. Is it wiped? Did you wipe it? Wipe it down. Wipe it down. Now.
Yeah, because Adam, look, you're a busy guy. You pay these guys to do this because you need time to do whatever it is you're doing to make money. You need the peace of mind, not having to worry about it, but having to hold their hand through every single aspect of it. You're exerting energy doing that,
and the task doesn't register for reason. It just doesn't register.
You know, like Lynette's answer to this is like, fucking chillax, like, what's up? Like, why are you on everybody? And it's like, I want to relax. I don't want to transfer shit covered with cobwebs and dust and dust bunnies and Cheerios into the new house. Like, I literally don't want it crossing into the new house.
Yeah, you relaxing is not on you. It's on them. Like, they're supposed to let you relax.
That's what I'm saying.
Like,
I'd love to relax. Yeah. I would love to relax.
No one will let you.
You won't let me relax. I can't. Relax, because you won't do what I asked to do. And it's just a weird feeling. Like, I got this new big beautiful house and I'm bringing in a bunch of shit and it's got a bunch of cobwebs and dust and dog hair from the other house. I'll just bring it into the new house.
Yeah.
Also, there's this other thing, which is whenever I tell anyone to clean a carpet and they're done cleaning the carpet, I'm like, all right, now let's revisit this. Get the hot water, put the stuff in it. Emulsify, spray it down, whatever. Then I get on my hands and knees and I fucking scrub it for 2 minutes and a bunch of black water comes back in the thing and I go, now redo it. And then they just redo it and it's a solution. The capture tank is filled with black water and I go, well, that's all the stuff from when you were done the first time. But we can redo this when I just come in and redo it, or you could just do it and just fucking do it.
Yeah.
Weird, right? Like, and that is the default setting for everybody all the time, and there's no amount of conversation that ever fixes it. It's weird,
right? Yeah.
but not now. It's why. It's why the Kevin Henches of the world shall rule the world. It's not because of his greatness. It's everyone else's abject retardation. It's like how fucking there's a combination that everyone else is horrible at their job meets super fucking lazy. And thus you good at your job and motivated.
Yeah.
You'll take over the world. That's why I'm just going to tell my son, like, just don't be my nephew. Just to fucking all just be no, all you have to do is show up, have a good attitude, and be willing to work hard, and you'll just take over the world.
Yeah.
The bar is so incredibly low now that you just have to be average and you shall conquer the world.
Yeah, Adam's guide.
Average is the new A plus.
Yeah. That's right.
One page.
All right. This show is brought to you by Geico.com. You can visit Geico.com. And Zycoat. Oh man, we love Zycoat. Zybar is better for engine performance, horsepower, fuel economy, and lower underhood temperatures. Zybar is the ultra-thin, high-temperature coating that reduces radiant heat by 90%. Put Zybar on, take heat off. Learn more at Zycoat.com. Really good stuff. I think it comes in like four colors, but they'll custom make your colors well. Yeah. Just so much better than wraps. We'll talk about it in a few minutes. So you were at the auctions. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot going on in Arizona. I went to Barrett Jackson and Gooding and RM. Did not get a chance to go to Russo or Bonhams.
Mm-hmm.
Those three are kind of a staple for me when I go out there, bring a buddy with me, Tyson, and we hit up all of those. And if we, you know, if we plan things right, we can jump back and forth to a few of them. They're all within 20 minutes of each other, give or take. So went over to RM and Gooding for the previews, and then went over to Barrett, and then walked the aisles there, the big salon collection over there, and then went back over one of the nights to watch some of RM. I ended up watching a lot of like the pre-war car stuff, so it was a little bit more social hour than it was auction hour for me. But it was a good event. I want to say between those three, just those three auctions, not including Russo and Bonhams, it's probably $220 million of sales.
It's funny. Car auctions are sort of like one time for Father's Day. I think it's right on Father's Day. I took my dad to the Playboy Jazz Festival. I never do anything for him because he doesn't deserve it. But
you're like, I knew
a guy at the Playboy. I knew a guy at the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'll get you tickets to anything you want anytime. Okay. And I said, all right, my old man loves jazz and we never do anything for Father's Day. So I'll take him to the Playboy Jazz Festival.
Which is going to the Hollywood Bowl is already a lot. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So we went to the Hollywood Bowl and we went to the Playboy Jazz Festival. It's like a jazz festival back when Bill Cosby was on top of his game and he would like host that thing. And the jazz festival was like start at noon and like Dizzy Gillespie would be coming out at 9 p.m., you know, to close the thing.
Okay.
So you just kind of show up when you show up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And me and my dad like showed up at like 2 p.m. And we watched like an hour and a half of fucking world music where like 85 fucking people come in there in ceremonial garb and do a bunch of backup singing for like Paul Simon. And my dad's kind of old school and so am I. Like, where's the jazz?
Yeah, where's the jazz?
I'm not here for the fucking world music. That's bullshit. I want jazz. You know
what
I mean?
It's in the title.
And yeah, it's in the title. And then after that, the next group, because they had like run groups, you know, they had like world music from 1 to 2:30 from 2:30 to 3. They had slick guy modern jazz where like blonde guy in his late 20s plays miniature saxophone. Another guy plays keyboard with the strap around his neck. And it's like progressive fusion-y, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, we got like an hour and a half of fucking world music and then an hour and a half of cool guy progressive jazz. And then my dad like looked at me and he went like, you want to go? And I was like, yeah. And we just left. We didn't see one fucking stand-up bass and one trumpet, old trumpet. And it was like, we saw no jazz at the jazz.
No jazz.
Well, we saw jazz, but we saw the kind of shitty jazz that nobody wants to see. And so if you time it wrong, you could show up with the chitty chitty bang bangs.
Yeah.
And Then you just got to start drinking.
Yeah. Well, that's the easy part.
Right.
That's the easy part over there. But, you know, there were good events. You know, more no reserve cars happening at all the auctions, and that certainly drives up quite a bit of sales. Some pretty cool things.
One of the biggest sellers was the Ferrari 288 GTO.
Yeah.
So if you love huge outside mirrors and snow tires and a lot of room between the top of the tire and the bottom of the fender, then that's your car, people.
I'm telling you, I was giving that speech to Tyson the whole time. We saw this car twice, once at Gooding and once at RM.
I've been on that car forever, which is, it looks like a fucking 308 that's been breathed on a little. It sits way too high. The front end sits too high. The rims are very 80s. The tires, for some reason, must be some Michelin metric something because they look like all-weather tires.
Yeah, they don't look like crazy thick tread on.
They don't look like summer performance tires. And what they did to the outside mirrors, they just put an Adaleaf in the outside mirror and jacked it up 9 inches. The mirrors look like shit. The tires look like shit. The rims are not great. And the car sits too high. And those cars are $3.5 million. Do you want to know why, Max Zapata? Those cars. And look, it's a turbo. Look, it's a late 80s, mid-late 80s car. It's great. Look, I sound like Chris Berman. Look, I like Porsche. I like Ferrari. Everything's good. Why is this $3.5 million? It's not a $3.5 million car by any stretch of the imagination. It's a mid 80s car, late 80s car. It's a GTO. It's a Ferrari GTO. So when these cars came out and when these cars were trading around in the 90s or the early 2000s, people were like, it's a 80s Ferrari. I don't know. You want to get a Testarossa? Mm-hmm. Like, what's the difference? You want to get 348? 355, like, well, what's the difference? And the difference is no difference, except for this one says GTO.
Yeah, and there's only a handful, what, three or four GTOs in Ferrari's existence? Four GTOs?
Huh?
Like, we're given the GTO title.
I think there's the GTO from the early 60s that they made 34 of, that are $50 million a pop, mm-hmm. and then there's this GTO,
and then there was a modern like 599
right. But this GTO is the second GTO, and if the big brother is going to be worth $50 million,
yeah,
then your $1.5 million Ferrari is going to be 3.5.
Yeah,
that's what it is, because this ain't 3.5 worth a Ferrari. It doesn't even have a V12.
Right, doesn't have a V12.
Thank you for that information. That's why you get the big buck. The other car that sold for $2,175 is the 507 BMW.
And
I
this
hate
one,
this car.
This one bugs me because it bugs it's, not, shit out it's of me. Not much car.
It's the skinniest tire in the world. It's a V8. It's a V8 BMW that's putting out like a whopping 131 horsepower or something.
But, you know, like, and I know we've done this breakdown before, this, you know, the versus the 350 Lamborghini, you know, this car is, I don't know, 300 and something made, you know, half an engine, you know, where the Lamborghini is 12 cylinder, 120 made. It's just like, I just don't get the math on
another
it.
Another example of a car that sits too high in the fucking front. Your sports cars look stupid when the front sits too high. Skinny wheels, crappy V8, like literally no horsepower.
I'm telling you, on that
shitty
car,
steering wheel.
And I know everyone's like, it's 2.something. What was it? $2.175 million. You know, it's restored or all original. But you're telling me that if you lopped an inch off those front coils and then rolled it onto the auction block, just the presentation alone, that car wouldn't be 2.3.
It looks like it's leaning backwards.
You'd get another $100,000 if you just got it to sit right.
It drives me nuts. Those cars drive me nuts. And they're fucking gutless. They literally, we looked it up once. I mean, it's a V8 with literally 130 horsepower.
Yeah.
It's gutless.
Yeah.
Godless.
That car makes you angry.
It makes me angry because it's just a fucking stupid. Get a fucking bug-eyed Sprite and drop a small block Chevy in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's stupid. But what I'm saying is they didn't make a lot of them. They're pretty nice looking. They're not performance cars. The tires are way too skinny and the engine is way too underpowered. Mm-hmm. That car cannot get to 60 miles an hour in under 9 seconds.
Right.
It cannot. There's no math that makes that worth. A fucking Honda Odyssey will fucking dust that car on a mountain road.
It's a two-seater roadster. It's supposed to be sporty, right?
Yeah.
It's like,
well, I completely get a 427 Cobra or a 289 Cobra or a Sunbeam Tiger, but this ain't that.
Oh, yeah. And for that kind of dollar amount, why wouldn't you get one of those instead?
Yes.
You know? They got a Tucker up there that sold for $1.6 million, but it was a color change.
Mm.
It's kind of weird because the original car was like a beige kind of light tan and mm-hmm. not the coolest color in the world, but only like, I don't know, 4 or 5 or 6 of them were made in that color.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody did a color change to the blue.
Mm-hmm.
The blue's pretty, but in a world of Tucker, why not go all original?
The blue's probably from the movie.
Yeah,
it looks great. It's a great blue. It's a fantastic blue. I am going to disagree with my co-host here and say, you know, the thing about an engine block being swapped out, you can bring down the pictures, Max Pata. You know, once an engine block gets swapped or something like that, there's no going back.
Mm-hmm.
The color, you're 80 grand away from putting it mm-hmm. to whatever the color could be, and you could always do that. I'm sort of like this. Like, if you get a car and you think the fucking rims look dorky and you just don't like the stock rims on it and it's worth something, but you want to do, you get an Alpina Z8 BMW and you're like, fuck those rims.
Yeah,
so
I like
go over to rims. Whatever, go over to our friends and have them make up a cool set of rims.
HRE.
You go to HRE and go, make me some cool rims. And then you take your rims and you put a plastic bag around, trash bag around them, and you label them and you put them in the garage. And when it comes time to sell it, you either put them on or
you'll
go, comes with the rims. Yeah.
You'll find three.
I'll find three and I'll be asking everyone in the shop.
Where's the fourth rim?
And then I always ask this question. Do you think someone broke in the shop and stole one rim? And they go, no.
No.
And I go, is there anyone back here that we don't know is back here? And they go, no. And I go, well, then where's the other rim? And they go, we don't know.
No.
All right.
I'll tell you what you need, though.
Mm.
You need Geico, then.
Yeah.
You're going to need some car insurance for those rims.
For those rims.
You know, everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off dry cleaning. You pick up some milk. And now you can save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list. You don't have to pick up or drop off anything. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Check out geico.com. Yeah. Modern supercars were kind of all the rage
mm-hmm.
at all the auctions, at Barrett Jackson as well. Barrett Jackson loaded up on the modern supercars and Ferrari F12 TDF. I love that car. It's very aggressive. You know, it's a front engine supercar.
Nothing better.
You know, $1 million, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know what they were new, $500,000 or $600,000, mm-hmm. but they're $1 million. And I want to say Barrett Jackson and RM had a Lexus LFA Nürburgring edition.
Yeah.
And the RM one sold for $885, and I want to say the Barrett one sold for like $915.
It's a good modern car. I think those things, I don't know, traded for $650 like 2.5 years ago or something. They're going up. I'd have that car. That's great. The only problem, Paris Hilton has one.
Well, they probably lent her one. Do you think she still owns it?
I don't know. I don't know. Your theory is...
They put her in cars, they take pictures, and...
I don't know. Max Zapata, you can tell us if Paris Hilton, if you use the ultra web and you glean if Paris Hilton owns a Lexus LFA or she just gets one from like Beverly Hills Motor Coach or something and drives one around for 4 months and then gives it back.
Yeah.
Because if she owns one, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm pissed.
I'm out.
You're out too.
Yeah. Now, as much as I love that car, I hate that car now.
Has anyone seen the latest episode of the Grand Tour?
Mm-mm.
I want to see that. as per usual.
Is that the muscle car one? They got the Mustang and the Camaro and Challenger. Are you sure you want to see that episode?
No. I had the super satisfying. I got AV Ed at the new house. He's doing the, well, the TVs all talk to each other now, and they all are home run back to the home run, and then you have your own channel, and then Lynette has her own channel, and then everything's on everything, and everything works and all that. And I was sitting home having a little cocktail last night. It was like 10:30 at night. I was like, oh, Amazon. Oh, ooh, the Grand Tour. Ooh, the new Grand Tour is out. Oh, I want to see that episode. And I hit my button and it says, you know, Apple TV, and you hit Apple, and then Apple takes you to Amazon. You click Amazon, pop on the Amazon account. It's like, would you like to sign up for your Amazon account? Like, what is your password? Like, oh, fuck. Yeah. God damn it. Like, why the fuck? Why is it? Why does everything need a fucking password? Yeah. Why am I not signed up?
Well, you can talk to Ed. That'll say, all you got to do is log in. I set it up for you.
No. Ed did the, oh, yeah, this remote was on all the TVs. It wasn't on your, and I'm like, okay. So we got it figured out. But now I can't.
Do you want all the TVs to talk to each other? Do you want your chocolate mixed with everyone's peanut butter over there?
I don't know, but I do know that if I see another fucking login and I have no fucking idea, I've never have any idea what the account, what is the password. We go to that Hammer Time auction site,
Hammer Price.
And I was sitting around over the weekend like, ooh, how are all these auctions going? It's like, hit it. Yep. Would you like to log in? What is your password? And I go, I have no fucking idea what my password is.
I wish they would call it Hammer Time.
They should. Hammer Time.
Hammer Time.
So I went with Matt. Matt figured it out, and I got onto the website. Also, I get a lot of, like, I get thrown off of websites. Yeah. Like, I do a lot of, oh, I'll just hit my Sonos button. It's like, would you like to join Sonos? Like, I joined it. I fucking joined it every 2 weeks. Like, what is your website? What is your address?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how can I just sign on and just stay on? Like, why am I getting thrown off all the time?
I don't know why it's you as well. I just put the Sonos speakers in my place, and I've been using it every day. Never once got kicked off.
Well, this is why it gets worse. Oh, my God. The Ford GT Heritage Edition, $533. My God.
And like four of them sold.
Yeah.
At Barrett.
Wow. Now, how do you wrap your head around the Heritage GT Ford Golf livery? The Golf livery on that car. It's a little obnoxious on that car, I must say, for a guy who's in a building with it on the front.
Some places painted that color. It's just weird on the GT.
How do you figure out 77 actual miles goes for $460? 288 actual miles. This is the Heritage Edition. So 77 miles, $460. I'm rounding around.
Mm-hmm.
288 miles of the Heritage Edition goes for $495. And 3,000 miles of the exact same car goes for $533.
Yeah.
That seems queer to me.
Because of the lot numbers. The first one, everybody's in, they want to buy the car. And the first one up there goes for the high dollar, $533, because there's more guys in the room bidding.
Mm-hmm.
And then one guy's out because he bought it. Mm-hmm. And the other guys are getting nervous going, oh, the low mile ones are going to go for more money, but they've reduced the amount of bidders in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Or go,
yeah.
You know, and then the last guy's like, all right, I'm going to buy it, but the other guy's already got there. And yeah, you're right. Why isn't the guy who paid $533 for a 3,000 mile one, why isn't he pissed because the guy paid $462 for the one with 77 miles?
Right.
Just the order that they're in.
Right. All right. Let's see. There's a lot of interesting stuff.
A McLaren Senna sold for $1.457 million. I want to say, if you're on the list, bless you, if you're on the list, they were like $1 million MSRP, about $1 million.
So it's already gone up 400 grand?
So it's gone up a bit.
I like that a split window resto mod 63 Vette went for $385. I like that the Gone in 60 Seconds Eleanor, I don't know if it's the one.
It's one of the ones from the movie.
Went for $385. Yeah. I like, as a guy,
the recreations were going for like $150.
Yeah. As a guy who is, as a guy who's messing around with taking a Z car or taking a 911 and kind of resto-modding it, although I wouldn't use the word resto-mod in a weird way for the Z or the 911, but doing a, building a SEMA car and doing a bunch of cool stuff to it, and who is sort of staring down the barrel of putting in 150 grand into each vehicle, I like the notion that if it's, if both cars are done really well and you pick the right materials and the right colors and the right whatever thing, that there's potentially 300 or 350 grand worth of automobile when the dust settles on the buck 50 or buck 75 you just poured into it.
Yeah. And that was a big thing. The customs, the hot rods, the resto mods, whatever you want to call them, the well done ones were really starting to pull some money. You know, Dave Kindig cars pulling $250,000
You know? Dave Kindig sold like a 21 or 23 window bus for like $250
Yeah.
A few years ago.
A Mustang that he built years ago pulled like over $200,000 And, you know, you still get up on that car and you're like, wow, the craftsmanship is still amazing. And, you know, even after now we've got all the 3D printing and more CNC and all that stuff. But, yeah, pulling good money.
You got the Paris Hilton LFA story?
Yeah. So this is, in, this is what everyone's been saying. So in 2012, her boyfriend got her the Lexus LFA, and then they broke up the next year. But her financial information leaked online that year, and it shows that she took over the payments after they broke up. So she ended up paying $5,600 a month for 60 months for this car. She loves it. She's posted herself on Instagram in it saying, "One of my favorite reasons to be back in LA. Love driving this baby around. Such a fun, fast, sexy car." And then the next year she got a McLaren 650S Spider. So she likes the supercars.
She likes the supercars.
Maybe I've turned the corner on Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
Maybe I want an LFA now because she appreciates the LFA. Although I like the idea she took over the payment.
I kind of dig the boyfriend where he's like, "Here's the car that I put $2,000 down on it, and when we break up, you're getting the payments on this thing."
Yeah, I don't know how that works with cars. I bought you a new car. Like, how? What do you do? Like, you'd put like a 25th of a bow on the roof of the car when you pull it in. Like, hey, douche, you put the fucking bow on. That's my car.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. What do you do?
And also, hey, I got you an engagement ring. Now you just send $1,400 to Zales every month. And in
you can
60
keep it.
Short months, that baby's going to be yours.
That's right. I ordered it. I had it made. You could pay for it.
You can't buy someone a car gift and then have payments. I mean,
well, if they broke up, I mean, I'm sure he doesn't want to be.
Well, that's why he didn't pay for it all up front, I guess, right? Because he's like, just in case this goes south, you know, I don't want to be in it for 400 grand. I want to be in it for, you know, 10 grand down and 5 grand a month.
Yeah, he made the payments, so he puts it down. He makes the $5,600 buck a month payment on the car, and then 9 months later they break up.
Yeah.
Now he's in a weird zone.
Yeah. By the way, who is this guy?
He's in the auto zone.
$5,600 a month payment. And also, she could write the check for it, right? But she's a little on the fence with, you know, committing.
I don't know. No more looking that up. We also have an update on the big bus. Now, Max Zapata told us what? Who reached out to you?
Dave Koontz reached out.
Yeah,
our friend at ABC 7.
ABC 7. We see him at all the car events we go to.
He interviews me. Great guy.
Yeah. So he writes, "Hey, I heard Adam talking about the huge movie vehicle that sat outside Jeffrey's shop on Cahuenga near Barham for decades."
He said I was wrong. It wasn't the big bus. And then I thought about it. And then what did I yell out?
You go, "Oh," and then you stopped me. You started. Mm-hmm.
I heard you going, hey, stop talking. Hey, so you wouldn't talk.
It was that car from Damnation Alley.
That's right.
Right. So the letter continues. "It was not the big bus, but a futuristic sci-fi vehicle called Landmaster from the 1970s movie Damnation Alley." Actually, and then
takes a big man to admit when he's wrong. And a bigger man to admit he was fucking right upon reflection.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you're right. It was never
you
that.
You could be right twice.
It was always the damnation alley.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mobile. Yes.
Yeah, and actually, yeah. The bus from the big bus was much, much larger.
Yeah, it was big.
And it actually seems to vanish after filming. Nobody knows what happened to it.
The bus Cyclops? From the big, big bus, they just, I guarantee those things get fucking torn apart and used for scrap and stuff. Like, no one gave a shit about
it. Or it's in Ron Pratt's garage. Yeah,
this bus, the big bus, they called it Cyclops because of the singular headlight in the front. It would, it actually was road legal and everything, too, so.
It was a stupid movie. And
that thing is huge.
Yeah. I bet Jeff Dunham.
he might have that.
Has it. Ask Dunham. Dunham's probably been on the fucking trail of the big boss for like 9 years. He's got a whole dossier he pulls out.
Oh, yeah. He's got people on it. He's got teams.
He's got people on it.
He's got like 700 grand invested into the investigation.
If you're not laughing, look up Jeff Dunham's car collection and then get back to me with the laughing.
He's such a sweet guy. He's such a nice guy, but he's got an interesting car collection.
It's eclectic.
Yeah.
They're cars for guys who don't like to drive cars.
Yeah, but he does have a Ford GT, the 2005-6 one, and then the GTX one, I think, that was like the Targa version of it, that was the aftermarket one. He's got one of those.
Yeah, I wonder.
So he's got one of
we
each.
Love him. I'm busting his chops. He's got an Amphicar car, too.
Yeah.
I think
he's got the Batmobile, though.
I think those cars went out. Does he have the real Batmobile?
He's got the like one of the real movie Batmobiles.
Yeah, he brought it in one time, actually.
Yeah,
The problem with Star Wars or, you know, the Batmobile or whatever is it never feels quite satisfying when someone goes, oh, he's got one of the lightsabers that were used, like one of the watches, one of the lightsabers, one of the Batmobiles, like one of the Eleanors, like one of the.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like it's cool, but it's not quite as good as having the car. Adds a little mystery.
And that's an interesting point. When I say he has one of the Batmobiles, I meant from the various movies. I don't know how many hero cars were in that particular movie.
Right. He doesn't have 60s Batmobile. He has like 90s or
80s
Batmobile.
He's got like a Tim Burton Batmobile. He bought the car from like Paramount or Warner Brothers, whoever owned it, and made it street legal.
Yeah,
and he
I've
drives
turned
it around
the corner on him and Jeff and
Paris Hilton.
And Paris Hilton.
Gosh, they're both, that's a hell of a car cast.
They're both enthusiasts, and I look
there
up
there. It is. See, he brought it here.
There it is. Crazy. All right, so you can look up his collection if you like. So the Damnation Alley was Jan Michael Vincent and like I don't know, George Papard or something, or maybe it was even Ernest Borgnine or something. It was Jan Michael Vincent who was in it, and it's like it's back when they needed a special vehicle.
Yeah, Jan Michael Vincent and Ernest Borgnine did Airwolf together.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't Airwolf though. It was
George Pepper, Dominique Sanda.
Wait, George Papard?
George Papard. Yeah,
yeah.
Pepper. Dominique Sanda.
You ever watch A Team?
Fucking A.
You ever watch Breakfast at Tiffany's?
Who was in there?
Dominique Sanda, Paul Winfield, and Jackie Earle Haley.
Oh.
Damnation Alley.
No Jan Michael Vincent, huh?
Oh, no. He was in there.
So, oh, yeah, George Papard. Yeah, it's George Papard. Yeah, from A-Team. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. It's insane that Jan Michael Vincent is still alive.
Right.
Because
barely.
No, but it's insane.
Was he in some kind of terrible accident?
He's like that and drugs and stuff like that. But what I'm saying is when you look at people that are like gone, like Bill Paxton.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bill Paxton's dead.
Right.
Bill Paxton's been dead for like 2 years.
Yeah. He shouldn't be.
He's from Weird Science and all this good twist tornado and all that shit. Like, he's great.
Yeah.
He's dead. Jan Michael Vincent's like actor from the 60s who's like drugs and motorcycle accidents and blah, 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 blah.
Lived.
He's literally just been like Jan Michael Vincent in the year 2000 was a shell of a wreck of a whatever. Why is Jan Michael Vincent still alive and Bill Paxton? Look, don't get me wrong. I want them both dead. No, I mean, don't get me wrong. I wish they were both still alive. Why is Bill Paxton gone and Jan Michael Vincent still alive?
You mentioned 2000. In 2000, Jan Michael Vincent violated probation for his prior alcohol-related arrest by appearing drunk in public three times and assaulting his fiancée.
All right, so that was 2000.
But nothing you said there surprised me at all. Yeah, if you said that about Bill Paxton, I'd be like, what?
Do you know this? His right leg was amputated just below the knee in 2012 after he contracted a leg infection. And he now walks
I didn't know that.
How old is he now?
74.
Why is he alive and Bill Paxton dead?
He's obviously a survivor. I mean, the guy could have died a million times with all these accidents.
All right,
and
put together a Jan Michael Vincent versus Bill Paxton dossier. I'm going to get into it on ACS because I need answers now.
Yeah.
I need some answers. You know why I think he's still alive? I think Jan Michael Vincent moved to Malibu in like 1972 or something, and you live an extra 14 years if you just moved to Malibu.
And he's got to be in the same place forever, right? He bought a place for $250,000.
I bet it's on Pier Blocks.
You know, it's just...
All right, let me tell you about Zycoat mini engines like my BRE Datsun 2000. Mm-hmm. I love that car, but I'll tell you what I don't like. I don't like when they take the intake and the exhaust and they put on the same side of the engine.
Yeah.
All the heat just comes right off that exhaust manifold. I'm going to call it a header.
Yeah.
It's a header.
Because you're thinking race car.
That's right. And it's right under the carbs and all the heat just comes off of that. You can put a heat shield on there. That's going to help a little bit. You can wrap them in like a fireman's hose. But those were your only two options in the past. Now, or you can do the ceramics, but that's real expensive. Now there's Zybar, the DIY high temp coating that reduces radiant heat by 90%. Resin based polymer formula withstands temperatures in excess of the engine environment that cost one third of the amount of ceramics, which are really expensive, and you get all those excess temperatures underneath there, which just affects everything. So if you coat that header, you save, man. And I think you do your intake as well. Single application Zybar to your manifold or exhaust system or headers or whatever we're talking about there. Controls heat, resulting in higher horsepower and torque. CarCast listeners receive a 15% discount plus free shipping on all of your online orders. Just enter promo code CarCast when you purchase Zycoat, ZYCOAT.com. It's really good stuff. We've seen it demonstrated. We interviewed the guy. And I think you could probably get like four colors and then maybe even a custom color as well. All right. Connecticut, Foxwoods, February 8th. Adam Kroll's Unprepared with stand-up as well. And then Boston, Wilbur Theater. I'll be doing stand-up on the 9th. Adam Kroll's Unprepared, taking ping pong balls and reading them off. Matt's come out to one of those shows.
Yeah, they're
blown away.
They're fun.
Stand-up for the first 20 minutes, half hour, and then we'll go into that. Peterson Automotive Museum, March 10th, everybody. We're doing an ACS 10-year anniversary. So check that out. Road Hard on Tubi, TUBI TV.com, and stream it for free. Shift and Steer, you can listen at Podcast One, and go check out our Facebook, Twitter, and website, CarCastShow.com. So until next time. And say hi to Laura Ingram at Podcast One. Does a great pod over there. Until next time, Adam Kroll. For Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea saying, keep the air in the spare and the bag of the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles. Just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.